Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the latest episode of the CS School podcast, where we speak with CS professionals from all over the world, learning about the hottest topics in customer success by stripping them back to basics and discovering how best to apply these strategies. This episode is brought to you by Vitally, the all-in-one customer success platform. Take a qualified demo with the Vitally team and get a free pair of AirPods. Vitally maximizes the productivity, visibility, and collaboration for your CS team, helping to increase NRR and streamline operations. With Vitally, your team can focus on the tasks and work that matter, while powerful automation takes care of the routine stuff. See why Vitally is trusted by leading B2B CS teams. Visit vitally.io/CSC today to schedule your demo and get your AirPods. Right, let's get stuck in though. Hi everyone, my name's Grace Gupta and I'm the copywriter here at Customer Success Collective. Now joining me on the podcast today is Romiel Numbisi. Romiel is an experienced software professional with a background in customer success management, partner onboarding, and corporate sales. Throughout Romiel's career, he successfully managed portfolios ranging from dozens of customers to hundreds, implemented growth strategies at startups and public companies alike, and delivered complex projects to drive revenue growth and customer retention. Now, for many people in the current macroeconomic climate, there's no sure guarantee you'll get that next promotion or bag that coveted new role. It's tough out there. But in this episode, Romiel and myself chat about the crucial ways CSMs can make themselves shine when applying for jobs. We chat about interviewing techniques, resume curation, all the way to networking. A lot of valuable insights get shared in this episode, so it's definitely not one to be missed. Hi, Romiel. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me, Grace. I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm brilliant. Yeah, really excited to have you on the pod. We've been having a few chats before this, and we're talking about a really exciting topic. Today, we're going to be talking about navigating the CS hiring journey, which I'm sure for a lot of people listening in and part of the customer success wider community, this is something that, you know, is always going to be important, but also like probably more relevant now than ever in the current economy, where there are probably maybe a few more redundancies and a few more people, or even people just looking for the next position and wanting to level up. But before we get into the ins and outs of it, could you first, for our listeners, explain how you got into customer success? And I'd like to know a bit about your overall vision for customer success, you know, how you operate as a CSM?
Sure, absolutely. So I got into it, I guess I'll start from the beginning. My background in SaaS started in 2015 when I was hired as a BDR at a late stage software company by the name of Black Duck Software. That has since been merged with and absorbed into Synopsys. But I started there as a BDR and within about a year I was hired put into a senior sales role. And I did that for about 3.5 years. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot, but I found that sales wasn't really for me. I found that I really had an interest in learning more about the post-sales process and what kind of happened after the contract was signed, what happened with the customers. Then I got a little bored with just signing the customers to a contract and then having to move on to the next one. So when I moved on from Black Duck, I decided that I wanted to try my hand at customer success, and I did so when I got hired at Experian in their data management division. So that back in 2019, so that was my first foray into customer success. It was just looking to better understand the more holistic customer journey and not just where it stopped at sales. And as far as how I see customer success, I think really the way I see it is kind of looking at the customer's journey from basically start to finish and ensuring that they have support along the whole way. So I see it as kind of a broad mix of a lot of things, sales, of support, of product development as well. The CS role, my first boss described it to me as being kind of a quarterback. I understand that's an American sports reference, so I'll clarify for non-American listeners. But basically, you know, a quarterback is a person who calls the plays, who's in charge of calling the play and executing. And that's really how I see it as it relates to customers, making sure that I'm marshaling resources behind the scenes internally to effectively support them, being their voice inside our organization and also being the organization's voice to them.
That's perfect. Yeah, it's a role that's a a real melting pot of lots of different skills, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah.
I think it's one of the most interesting things about it, especially when I speak to people like yourself in the, you know, in the role, in the industry. It's always fascinating to me how many plates are being spun. And it's not just, you know, whacking a post sales label on it, because that, I think that does a bit of a disservice to it, if you know what I mean.
Agreed.
So many interesting parts to it. Like you said, a bit of sales, a bit of support, product development. You know, there's, I don't know. I really love speaking to people like you, because it's always, I don't know, it's always just really interesting to me. But anyway,
it's fun. Yeah, that's exactly what I love about it. It's keeping many plates spinning at once. So if you're the sort of person who likes to touch a lot of different areas of a business and be multidisciplinary and, you know, learn different things at once, customer success is a great career to look into, I think.
Yeah, oh, definitely. So today we're going to be talking about really kind of almost how to get your foot in the door when you are either. So this is probably applicable for people who are, you know, perhaps maybe slightly, you know, wanting the next challenge. I don't want to say bored of their current role, but, you know, looking for the next challenge and wanting to either, you know, move up and into a different company, or, you know, move up internally, or actually could be, you know, in between jobs and looking for that next CS role. There are loads of, you know, I think that all this, what we're going to talk about today, is super applicable to majority of people in, you know, who are looking for their next role and trying to figure out, you know, from interviews to how to position themselves, you know, in order to get that interview. So it's a bit of a minefield, I think. I mean, probably in any industry, it's always a bit slightly nerve-wracking when you're going into a job search. You know, I think, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe some people really love it. I certainly have never really, really enjoyed it. It's always been a bit, I'd say stressful might be a little bit of an understatement. But to kick things off, when people think about any job hunt, it's usually the first place to start is with your resume, right? I think you need to make sure it's like in good nick. You know, you need to make sure, you know, if it's not up to date, you need to make sure you highlight the right experience, because, you know, if you're sending off a resume to a job and it's, you know, out of date, or it's not actually showcasing you to the best of your ability, it could, you know, cost you your dream job. So I was wondering, to, you know, kick things off, would you be able to share any tips that you've learned along the way for crafting a standout, you know, resume tailored towards customer success, you know? And are there, I don't know, maybe some key elements that people who are listening could include to sort of catch the attention of, you know, either a recruiter or straight to, you know, to employers?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of this is fairly standard, but from what's been shared with me, and from what I've found is been the most effective, I think one is definitely, as you alluded to, highlighting your achievements. And I think the best way to go about that is to make sure that you're including achievements that are quantifiable, and highlighting the impact that it had on the organization. So, you know, if you're, for example, responsible for an initiative that you know, stopped a customer from walking out the door, you know, say that, right? And don't just say that, but make sure that you include, you know, I was instrumental in retaining X customer who is worth X to the business a year, you know, over the life of however this contract. So it makes it easy for a hiring manager to see a quantifiable impact that you have on the organization. I think that's really critical. I think being able to speak to experience that you have in change management is also very important. I've come to realize that that's a big element of it as well, because as CSMs, you know, we're usually at the forefront of organizational change, both internally and also with our customers. We're usually in a pretty good position to understand, you know, assuming, you know, that you're well tapped in with management at the customer, you're in a pretty good position to understand, you know, what they might be thinking strategically for the next year or for the next 6 months. And also, of course, you know what's going on at your own company as well. So being able to help navigate changes, and being able to demonstrate that you're good at that is something that you want to highlight in the resume as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. I think it's definitely all about making sure that you there's no point saying something on your CV, your resume, sorry, CV, see over here in the UK. But yeah. I keep wanting to keep slipping it on your resume.
No, that's okay.
There's no point putting it if, you know, you, it's kind of like you've got to show, you've got to, it's a bit like show and tell, you know, you've got to, there's no point writing on there because it could mean nothing to a recruiter or an employer. You know, if you back it up with, like you said, data, I think that's going to really make it sort of shine, I think. Yeah.
Right. I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go.
The best piece of advice I was given on a resume is that, you know, it's there to help you tell your story. So what you want to do is include enough information so the hiring manager is intrigued enough to want to learn more, right? So include pieces that, you know, sort of prompts that allow you to, in an interview, expand on it and really tell the story of how you impacted an organization positively. I think that, and again, I think, you know, a lot of people on some level inherently understand that, but, you know, just from my own experience, I've been in situations where I've spoken to hiring managers and, you know, I got to the interview stage, but they, and I, you know, I'm recounting an experience to them and they've said to me, wow, I would not have gotten that from your resume. Your resume didn't make that clear. Which was helpful feedback for me. So for the next time, I can make sure my resume does make that clear.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, good of them to sort of give you that sort of tip, because you there's nothing worse than going in blind and then going to the next one and the next one and you not having picked that kind of tweak that, I don't know, mistake or something. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So I think discuss the resume. Like when you go into an interview, obviously that's like the main event, you know, what would you say in your experience, you know, job hunting, are like, what are the classic common mistakes that you should avoid? And what are perhaps, you know, rather being all doom and gloom, you know, in your experience, what are like, you know, best practices when to showcase relevant experience in a customer success role, you know, and you also want to, sorry, I'm just going on a bit of a tangent here. You also want to be able to show that you're a good fit for that role. So how would you, so break that up in first. What are the best practices and what are common mistakes for an interview for a customer success role?
Sure. I think common mistakes for an interview, I think, you know, if for people who are sort of nervous talkers like me, I think there's maybe a tendency to overshare and over-explain, you know, because you get uncomfortable with a pause and silence and you keep talking. But I think it's a very useful skill to be able to give a detailed but concise answer. So that's helpful. I think also, you know, just I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this, but being inauthentic is a really common pitfall. I think people feel the need when they go into interviews, understandably, to present the best version of themselves, which is correct. But I think we have a tendency to take that overboard and assume that we have to be, you know, the most polished version, and you know, you risk losing something there, because I think a lot of hiring managers, you know, once you've gotten to the interview stage, they're fairly certain that you at least have the basic qualifications. What they really want is to get a sense of you as a person. And I think too many people, when they interview, they forget to include their own personality. So those are the kind of the common mistakes and pitfalls I see. As far as tips for success, of course, you know, the obvious: be prepared. You know as much as you absolutely can about the company, about the role itself. Whenever I'm in an interview, I always like to ask about, and you know, this is kind of uniquely applicable to customer success, and it's a newer discipline, but I always like to ask about the origin of the role and what spawned the need for customer success within this organization, and why are you looking to add more CSM at this time? Is it because the organization's growing and you have more customers you need to support? Is it because your current CSMs are burnt out and you need more to help them with their workload? Is it, you know, because you need to hit some growth numbers to show, you know, employee growth for, you know, funding purposes? I always like to understand why an organization is looking to invest in their CS organization and why they're looking to do so now. Mm-hmm. I think that's a telling question that will help you as a candidate decide really if you're barking up the right tree, so to say.
Yeah, definitely. Because also, I imagine, again, I think most listeners probably know I do not actually work in customer success, so I want to preface that. But I imagine that because customer success is interpreted so differently and it really works to the fit of the organization in question. So, you know, where your last role might have been, it could be completely different and you could have completely different day-to-day responsibilities in this, you know, for example, if you're interviewing for a new role. So you might not necessarily have a health score at the moment, you know, you might not be able to, you might. So it's quite important, I guess, to sort of gauge where the company is at themselves, because then it'll give you a better idea, I'm assuming, of really like, are you coming in at the very beginning or is it more established?
Exactly.
That kind of thing, because that's going to impact, because you know, for somebody you might not be, you might have a clear idea of where you, what you actually want to be doing on a day-to-day basis, whereas certain orgs might not quite offer that, or it might be the other way around, it might be a bit too much for your, you know what I mean? So it's quite, yeah, interesting one actually.
Yeah, no, you raise a great point. It's a good way for the candidate to assess kind of what situation they're walking into and if it's matched up to their, you know, to their skill set, to their personal professional goals, you know, to their working style, to their management style. And you know, if you find that it's not, then you have the opportunity to, you know, opt out. And if it is, then yeah, you can obviously continue.
Yeah, no, really interesting though. So thinking about what you just said, since we're on the topic of interviews, obviously the way you present yourself and the way, I mean, when I say present yourself, I don't mean like just physically. I mean, the way you sort of, you know, showcase yourself is so, so like vital at this point, because it's all very much, they don't properly know you yet. They don't, you know, they've seen your resume. They've obviously like, if you get to the stage, they like what they see, but it's really kind of, I guess, up to the candidate to sort of showcase themselves. So I was quite interested to know your take on how storytelling works during this interview process, because you know, how can a candidate effectively communicate their experience and their achievements in like a compelling way and a memorable way? Because you don't want to be reading off their resume, because they've already seen that, haven't they? They've already, like, you know, obviously you're going to be, you've got jumping off points, but how do you, you know, yeah, I'd quite like to know a little bit about storytelling, because you mentioned we first spoke about you've been sort of coaching, you've spoken about counselling and coaching for job interviews. And yeah, I was just wondering if you've got any like nuggets of wisdom to share with anyone who might be, you know, looking for their next role.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I've recently had the good fortune of receiving some coaching and some feedback on storytelling during interviews. Really what I find what's important is making sure that you tell the story in a way that, you know, obviously clearly illustrates whatever the core sort of central theme or challenge was, what you did to, you know, to make things better, what your role was, and then what the tangible impact was after. So kind of breaking it into, kind of thinking of it as like a three-act play is kind of how I think about it, you know, beginning, middle, end, and, you know, weaving those things together, but always making sure that you're keeping the impact of the customer at the forefront of the story, if that makes sense. But I think for storytelling, it's, you know, some people are more comfortable with it than others. Some people are naturally just not comfortable talking about themselves. Some people are comfortable talking about themselves. So, it depends on kind of your comfort level there. But I think there's a way to effectively communicate your experience, even if you're not the most comfortable storyteller. And I think the best way to do that is, like I said, you know, just kind of rely on that kind of structured approach, you know, the presenting the situation, you know, the analysis, the challenge, your role in it, and what the overall outcome was.
Perfect. That sounds really, really good. It's definitely something I think most people probably could take on board as well, regardless of their role. So I was wondering before we sat down for this recording, I think it's fair to say that customer success really lends itself to its humane characteristics. I think some people quite would call them soft skills, but, you know, things like things that are so crucial to the role, like being able to empathize, or being a great listener, being positive. Yes. But what specific skills and qualities have you found that employees look for in potential candidates? And like, I guess you know, how can candidates highlight these skills and qualities during the hiring process?
Sure. In my experience, big things have been change management, which I think I alluded to earlier. People yeah. who are comfortable with change, who are comfortable with things kind of turning on a dime. And this is a skill that, I mean, for me personally, I developed it working at, you know, a series of kind of smaller startups, and then also at larger public companies. Also, I've had the benefit of being in both environments and kind of being comfortable managing change in both environments. But if you're not someone who has that experience, I think just being able to highlight how you've managed change in your own life and in your own career in whatever context made sense for your current role, I think is really valuable. I think also empathy and active listening, as also you alluded to, is incredibly important. I can't tell you how many situations I've been in as a CSM myself where just being able to level with the customer on a human level and just sort of meet them where they are and make them feel heard and understood has made things so much better and has turned situations that could have easily gone awry, you know, to something positive. So that's definitely important. If you can demonstrate that you are comfortable with conflict resolution, that's also very important. Also related to the change management, I should also include communication related to that, because I think one big thing with customers, and I think part of the reason the CSM function is so vital, is that we're interviewing the customer and our organization, and being able to communicate changes that are happening internally that would impact that is also very important. And of course, being able to communicate things from the customer side that would impact us is crucial as well. So not just change management, but being comfortable in communication is a vital skill.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. I think the change management thing is something that I probably wouldn't even thought of, but it's now you said it, it sounds like so obvious. Like it's got to be like one of the most standout ways that you can really impress, you know, prospective employees, like definitely.
Absolutely. That's been the common refrain I've heard in a lot of my interviews thus far.
So. Right. Okay. Interesting. Love that. So I'd quite like to now to segue onto something different. Sure. So like, I would like us both to talk about how to boost your interview and make the most of the time you have in it. Because, you know, once you've gone through your experience, your resume, et cetera, like how should a candidate showcase their knowledge and enthusiasm for the field? Because we touched upon that, but you want to be personable, but you also don't want to overshare, which I definitely have a tendency to do. You want to showcase your personality, but you also want to be, you know, succinct, which I don't know, I can talk for it like forever. So, but like, for example, like what is like effective, you know, you kind of want to show your enthusiasm, but you don't want to be talking for, I don't know. Is there a time limit on how much you can talk about industry trends and developments? Because you want to show you're keen. But sure. You kind of want to do it. You've only got a certain amount of time. I think that's what that's probably what on most people's minds whenever they go into an interview. They're kind of wanting to give the best version of themselves, but within a constrained amount of time. So, yeah, what in your experience, you know, what are some of the like effects? You know, let me break that up a bit. I'd like to know like what are effective ways there are to stay up to date with industry trends, but also how you should sort of spin that into the interview in the best possible light, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. I think one of the great things about the CS industry is that there's been a lot of professional development resources becoming available in the last sort of five years, even sort of last sort of 2 years. Even organizations like this one, like the Customer Success Collective, in its existence are proof of that. But I think just trying to keep your finger on the pulse of professional development resources that are available and doing your best to keep up with those is vital. In terms of how to communicate that during an interview, to be honest, that's something that I've struggled with as well. Because you're right, there is the urge to kind of present yourself in the best light and show how knowledgeable you are, but you also don't want to over talk and bore the hiring manager. What I found, something that I've been asked quite frequently in interviews and something I actually enjoy talking about and I think might be useful for candidates is being able to really effectively explain what it is about CS that appeals to you personally. What it is about you as an individual that makes you write for CS, what it is that you enjoy about it. I was talking with a friend, a fellow CSM, about this a few weeks back, and she was telling me that, you know, the reason she became a CSM is that kind of what I was alluding to earlier, she's just the sort of person who is naturally curious and who likes to know a little bit about everything and who likes to be involved in a little bit about everything. And she was able to very effectively tell that story when she was going through her interview process. So she's able to explain to them, you know, why CS kind of matches with her personality. And she was able to give personal anecdotes from her life where she exhibited behaviors that you would expect from a CSM, like change management, like good communication, like conflict resolution, like we were discussing. So I think being able to tie it back to your personal life and your personality is important.
Yeah, I guess an employer doesn't want to get the sense of when they're sitting down in an interview, they don't want to be hiring someone who I know we all want a job at the end of the day. We all want to be employed. Mm-hmm. We need it to buy things and to sustain our life. But I guess employers want to see beyond that, you know.
Right.
They want somebody to really want it and not just be something they're just going to like, I don't know. I'm not one for like, I would never be one for like, if, you know, managing people, expecting them to work late or anything like that. But, you know, somebody that just, what's the right term? You know what I mean? Who just leaves it at the door and doesn't really care or is just doing it, passing the time between them. Like, they want someone who's proactive and actually it means something to them, you know? So I think that's a really good tip, actually. Yeah. I quite like that.
Exactly. Oh yeah, no. It's been very useful for me. I think, and I see what you're getting at. It's hard to kind of differentiate between wanting some. You know, you don't expect someone to
tell
themselves for the role. You also don't want someone who's doing the bare minimum either.
Yeah, that's it.
I think you just you want to know that. I think for me, the way I think of it is that you want to know that person really feels that this is the right role for them and that this is part of their own professional development plan. Because I think they're more likely to invest more of themselves in it and take it seriously as a person who's just stumbled into it and maybe is still figuring out what they want.
Yeah, someone who's quite clear-minded and knows that this is the right path for them and can explain why. I guess, you know, yeah, that's very interesting. Okay, I kind of want to do like a little. Just sort of ask you, I just want to pick your brain about everything towards the hiring process of CM and customer success. So let's picture this. You've got an interview booked for next week and you are, you know, you're cramming in your prep in advance. You know, at some point you're going to be asked about behavioral and situational type interview questions, you know, they're a given, but for some, I guess some people thrive off that, but others, you know, might require a little more, you know, they might require to take a little bit more care and consideration to make sure their experience really sings. But so for people who exactly, you know, it's not for most of us, it's not natural to talk, sing their own praises. I know for me, I'm very self-deprecative. It can be a bit uncomfortable some people to be like, this is why I'm great, which is essentially what you've got to do in an interview, but in a arrogant way. But what strategies do you think people who might require a little more consideration, what can they employ to provide really thoughtful and impactful responses?
For me, what's been helpful as someone who's also not super comfortable talking about themselves for context, for me, what's been helpful has been framing it as not so much bragging about yourself, but being able to highlight what it is you're proud of having accomplished and what the positive impact of that was on the organization. I think that's a slightly more sort of neutral way of being able to look at it. I think it makes it easier to kind of frame your mind around, at least for me personally.
Yeah.
You know, because when I'm in an interview and I get asked, you know, what's an accomplishment of yours, what's an initiative that you led that you're proud of, you know, my mind, obviously, like everybody else, my mind reverts to the you know, stories that I have ready that I've pulled from my experience and feel comfortable discussing. So I think just having those on hand is helpful. But yeah. I definitely understand what you mean. There's kind of an instinct you have to fight to feel like you don't want to brag. And I think just the best way of getting past that is remembering that, you know, the hiring manager is asking you this because they want to understand, you know, what you bring to the table. Ego is taken out of it. So I don't think that's something you need to worry too much about, unless you're, you know, talking for 10 minutes on end about how fantastic you are, then maybe you dial it back a little bit. But if you're not doing that, I think you're okay.
Yeah, no, it's good. And it's important to reinforce that. Like they're asking you these questions because they genuinely want to know. It's not like you're boring them. Again, unless you're talking for 10, 20 minutes about, I don't know, what your dog did this morning because or something like that, which for some companies that might work. That might be the selling point. I don't know. All right, I'm conscious of time. So I really want to move on to this very, very important part of job searches.
Sure. Because
I think it's probably the core reason this community, Customer Success Collective, exists. You know, if there wasn't a need for this, we wouldn't be doing this podcast. We wouldn't be, you know, writing articles, putting on events. But networking can play a instrumental role in finding the right customer success role.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in your experience of hiring and job hunting, how can CSMs tap into this to a network and leverage their contacts, I guess, to kind of, you know, you never know what's around the corner. You could, you know, uncover like a hidden job opportunity you didn't really know, or I don't know, gain referrals. Like how would somebody who maybe hasn't ever networked before, you know, and is looking to, I guess, enter that, you know, sort of turn over that, you know, leaf and find out more about it. What would you recommend?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, because networking, I think, is one of those things where there is no one objective right way to do it. Different approaches work for different people. I think what's worked for me and what I think might be helpful is, you know, knowing what your strengths and your interests are and trying to align yourself with people who have similar ones, but also recognizing where you have areas of improvement and making a deliberate effort to connect with people who can help you with that as well. People who can help you develop a skill set maybe that you need to be successful. So, you know, if you're a CSM who's, or if you're someone aspiring CSM, let's say, who maybe doesn't have the communication skills that you'd like, maybe you're not as comfortable with speaking as you'd like to be, you know, signing up for things like, what's the organization? I think it's Toastmasters, where you go and you learn to go get more comfortable with public speaking, things like that. That's just one example. You know, going networking towards the thing that you need to develop more. That's been helpful for me. And in terms of, you know, my personal career and job search, I've had everything. I've had everything from finding jobs just from straight applications to finding jobs from, you know, relationships that I've developed and cultivated with recruiters over time who've been able to tap me into job searches or job openings that I wouldn't have known about otherwise. So I think developing those relationships is important as well.
I was thinking.
There's a lot of different answers to it, I think.
Yeah, no, it's quite a broad question, to be honest. But I was, you know, it's also, once, say, if you've got, I don't know, how many LinkedIn connections, or, you know, you're part of a Slack group, it's always good, I guess, having that network. But it's a bit of a mercenary term, like capitalizing off it. But that's, you know, it's really, really what networking is about. You wanting to, there's no point just sitting on a pile of connections that, you know, you're not using. I'm not saying for not non-proactive people, but, you know, it's quite hard when you are perhaps in between jobs and to motivate yourself to keep putting yourself out there. Like speaking as a, you know, a bit of an introvert, like, so you want to be able to sort of maintain these connections or, you know, how, it's not an easy feat, is it? Like how does one go about that? Would you say, like, as, you know, you're part of a customer success community. I was just curious to know, like, any tips for how you sort of maintain your sort of, you know, pool of connections?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's something that I struggle with as well, because sometimes I wonder if I'm not being active enough, or if I'm, you know, focusing on a certain set of connections and neglecting others. But okay. I think sharing updates is helpful. This is something that I've noticed recently on LinkedIn, but people sharing updates when they've, you know, acquired a new skill, or when they've, you know, begun training for something, or, you know, reaching out to your network and kind of letting them know where you're at, whether it's within a job search or where you are in your professional development journey. And again, connecting with people who are kind of in that same stage or who can help you get to the next stage, I think is helpful. In terms of, you know, just keeping your network warm or your contacts warm, personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with just checking in. Yeah. This is something that I've had to get more comfortable doing, but I have contacts who, even if I don't have any pressing, request of them, even if I'm not asking them for, you know, resume help or an introduction, I have contacts where I reach out to just every few months or so, just to say hello and see how things are going, and, you know, figure out how things are going on in their life. Because I think when you do that, when you keep those contacts warm, it makes it easier to then turn to them when you actually do need help. It's a bit awkward when, you know, you haven't spoken to someone in 6 months, and then you see on their LinkedIn that they may know the hiring manager for a job, and you say, hey, can you recommend me for this role? And then you wonder why they haven't responded to you. It's like, well, you haven't spoken in 6 months. So
I know exactly what you mean there. It's hard, but I think it kind of, I was thinking more about this yesterday, actually, about putting yourself out there and, you know, making sure you keep in touch with, like, connections. Then I got to thinking about, you know, in sort of today's, obviously, I don't want to sound like I'm like 90 years old, but like in today's hyper digital, that sounded very ageist. In today's hyper digital age, it's online presence is huge, particularly if you're in a network, you know, in the customer success field, where there's, you know, like LinkedIn, for example, like, you know, what role does LinkedIn play in getting what role does an online presence such as, you know, being on LinkedIn and posting consistently play in, you know, the hiring process? Because I think this is probably quite a good thing to end on, really, because it's kind of practical and, I don't know, hopefully for our listeners, like, easy win advice. But how can candidates optimize their profiles and stay engaged with the customer success community? Because it's huge, isn't it? You know, it's a case of, like, how often do you post, what you should be doing? Like, I don't know if you've got any tips on that, because it's just fascinating. Cause I'm not, if you're not a particularly outgoing person, it's quite hard. Like, I think we touched on this a few times. I mean, maybe I'm being a bit biased, being a bit of like a wallflower, but, you know, putting yourself out there, it's a bit of a big deal, especially if you're, you know, in between jobs and you're maybe not feeling 100% yourself. Curious to hear your thoughts on that.
You're right. It is, and this is again something that I wrestle with personally, because you're absolutely right. I don't always feel like being super active and putting myself out there and kind of announcing myself to the world. I don't think you have to necessarily do that, but I think there's value in kind of in maintaining, you know, at least a decent online presence and making sure people know that you're staying active, and if you're not working currently, that you're working on developing yourself. The posts I love reading on LinkedIn the most nowadays, they're, some of them are professional, some of them related to CS, but I also just love reading about people's life updates. Like, I like hearing about someone who said that they, you know, recently climbed a mountain and that was an interesting challenge for them. That's something that made them feel accomplished, or, you know, they took time to unplug for the day and just spend time with their kids. I think maintaining an online presence is really important as a professional, but I think going back to what we were talking about with hiring managers and wanting to know that they're getting a person, I think maintaining an online presence and showing that you're just, you know, a person like everybody else is okay too. I don't think you need to, you're stressed out too much about coming off as the perfect CS professional or software professional online, because none of us are. really. And I don't think anyone's really looking for that. At least that's what I tell myself to feel better. I hope that's the case. No,
it sounds honestly like sage advice. And I'm really glad you said that, because I think there probably is quite a lot of pressure to be posting every day and making, you know, and then that kind of detracts from the reason you're doing it. Like, people just doing it for likes and reactions. True. Like, it's not really, sorry to make this very customer success, not very value led, you know, there's not really any value in your posts. Like, you're not being very, you know, you're actually, it's not being authentic, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. LinkedIn's a minefield though. Like an absolute mind.
It really is. Really, really is. I've been using it for years now, and I still manage to be surprised by it every day, which is interesting.
No, absolutely. I'm with you there. Oh, well, unfortunately, that's the end. That I think we've come to the end of the episode. But thank you so much, Romiel, for joining me on this podcast. I think I've really enjoyed talking to you about this, because it's something that's applicable for loads of people. And you've shared some really, really interesting tips that I hadn't even thought of before for, you know, positioning yourself and positioning your experience. So thank you so much. And I hope that any listeners who maybe are thinking about the next move, their next career move, or, you know, currently undergoing it, hopefully they've picked up some really helpful tips, because I think there's been a lot of things you've said here that I, you know, really, really resonated with. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been really great. I hope some of what I've shared has been useful, but this has been really enjoyable. So thank you for having me.
Oh, no, pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out our other episodes and go to thecustomersuccesscollective.com for even more customer success related content. You can also join our global community on Slack, and you can find the link to that on the CSC website. But until then, see you next time.